Welcome to episode 195 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach. And look, we've got a massive episode coming your way this time. We always do, but it's another big one. Joining me is my co-host, fellow Run to PB coach and 225 marathon man. Thank you very much. Zach and Newman, how are you going, mate?
Good, Chris. So, how are you going, mate?
Mate, I'm good. I'm up and about. So,
massive episode. Thank you for the intro, and there's been a bit going on in your running world, mate. So I'm excited to see. I want to not see. I'm excited to hear. I saw a lot of what happened over at Hanging Rock. I even caught a bit of a video, mate.
Mate, purple and gold was everywhere. It was nearly spread around Hanging Rock as far as all the kangaroos were. So
couldn't get it off my feed. The Facebook, Instagram, there's even YouTube. It's the algorithms have just turned into the purple and gold.
Mate, they weren't paid posts either. So I think, I don't know, it might have caught the eye of the ASVIC team over the weekend, which is never a bad thing. I guess I suppose there's sometimes it can, but no, it was a very positive weekend. So looking forward to having a bit of a chat about that.
I think all our shout outs to the team at AV and Tim has come through with a great Chris Nicholson flying the flag for you guys with a cool video that we might touch on a little bit later.
Looking forward to that.
Hey, special guest dropping by, dialing in from the Blue Mountains, I reckon, in a few, about 25 minutes.
Yeah, and looking forward to it. So a guest we've had on before, Lock Bromley, he's back, popular demand. We've got a few questions that have come in from the listeners just around some strength exercises, a few injury prevention techniques, current injuries, and a couple of curly questions from someone who knows Lock quite well as well.
Yeah, Lachlan Bromley from Reload Physio, who is obviously a Run to PB partner, and we're stoked to have him on. He's obviously been helping me out of late with my injury, but he's obviously done a lot in the running space. He was over at Nationals for the track and field, and then now up on the Blue Mountains helping his wife prepare for another 50K, I reckon he's going around in. So we're gonna get Lachlan on the phone. As mentioned, we put out a story and the listeners, mate, they came in droves. We might have to have another. We've got a few more. We're gonna have to probably save up for our next installment with Lachlan, given the time constraints.
No, it's I think we may have broken our own PB, mate, for most listener questions. So, yeah, it was overwhelming in the end.
Yeah, no, it's good. Before we go there, take us to Hanging Rock.
Mate,
photos looked insane. There was the group photo you had with the Shep Runners Club was awesome. Seeing the rock in the background and that the light. I don't know. Did Chelsea take that photo?
No, I think Chelsea's in the photo. I think, but yeah, we may have used Chelsea's camera.
Maybe it's a special camera.
Yeah, but no, it was, geez, it was a good day. I think you sort of always hope that these things will come together and everyone will have a good time. But yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, we left Shep just on 9 o'clock in this massive bus. And when we got to Hanging Rock, so when we arrived, the poor volunteer on the gate, because she's seen this big bus, just thought we were all tourists. So she waved us on, thinking, these guys won't be runners. So we waved us on to the main entrance, which we duly found out the bus wasn't going to be able to get in because of the boom gate. So we've done another lap to come back, and she's gone to wave us on again until the bus driver sort of opened a window and said, "Hey, I've actually got a busload of runners here. We want to be able to come in." And she's backtracked and gone, no, I wasn't waving you on. I was just pointing in the direction you needed to go into the car park. You know, mind you, she stepped right in front of the driveway, and it was a very, very firm arm out to the right to keep
Don't
going.
argue
So,
it out.
yeah, so we didn't want to get involved with that conversation. So the bus just teed it in. But yeah, it was an eventful start to the day. But mate, well,
What's the drive duration?
yeah, 2 hours in the bus.
2 hours in the
So
party bus.
yeah, in the party bus.
Little
So
karaoke lights, mate. We got a little photo of the team in there.
it was vibes were high too. So I think there was a couple of
Were they
people that
high
had
on the way? Or way back, obviously, you got the endorphins going and
no, I
people racing.
think the banter was high on the way over. There's a couple of people having a snooze, some people getting stuck into others that they should have been doing the 12K instead of the seven.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, there was some good banter there, particularly when they realized that those that were running the seven were going to be running with all the fast under 20-year-olds as well. So yeah, that was eye-opening. But now vibes were high on the way over, and then I think everyone was pretty exhausted on the way back because as much energy as the team put into their actual races on the day, I reckon they nearly exceeded that with the support that they gave everyone out on course. So the guys came, and I suppose this is the recreational fun runner coming out in most of the group, which I don't ever want to take this away from them. I think it's really cool. They came armed with cowbells, pom poms, and ready to go full voice anytime someone came past in the purple or gold or anyone else that they recognize, because we've got a few alumni out there running amongst it. Some of our juniors run for a couple of other clubs, obviously myself and Nora. And Laura Curlin. Laura's a regular at training, so we all run for Bendigo along with Nathan Stoat. So Nathan spent a good sort of 18 months at Shepparton Runners Club as well. So yeah, I think we're all excited to all be in the one spot. And yeah,
I'm all for that, mate. That's good. We need a bit of color and life at AV events. I think it's a bit, been traditionally a bit sterile, and that a lot of club runners just they jog around, warming up, warming down, and you get a few. Actually, Liam's probably listening, so we probably can't say keep going or actually Lisa, my missus, she was like, oh, I'm really scared now to cheer on. I think Liam sort of, and I said, nah, I don't think you should be. I think Liam's just teed off in the wrong spot there. He's teed off and he's put it two fairways to the right. Because I just think saying keep going is totally fine as as something you can say in a race when you're cheering someone on. So I'm sure there was plenty of people in the Shep colours saying keep going.
There was a couple, but none of them had listened to the podcast, so it was nice. They weren't actually taking the piss out of me. But no, it was really cool. I think just the level of noise that they made, and even while they're out on course, anytime someone ran past them, like, good job, well done, you're doing well. And I don't think a lot of people are necessarily used to that. At Athletics Victoria actually being actively praised by the person that they're passing. So yeah, it was good. Look, the guys had a great day, and shout out to Tim Crosby, because he made a point of coming over and saying thank you to the group for being so positive on the day and just getting behind everyone. And he did an interview with or Run to PB athlete and our club president, Chris Nicholson, at the end of the day. And full credit to Chris. He had finished the 12K race and he was absolutely rinsed. And I'd just taken him on a cool down around the car park, and then threw him straight in front of Tim and said, "Here you
Right, the
go."
media conference. Yeah, he did well. He really did well. And I know I'm probably biased because I, love Chris and what he stands for. And I, but I thought he spoke beautifully, like just really articulated what the event, like coming to these events, means to the club and where you guys have come from. It's pretty cool to see. Talking about the stick figure uniform and like a lot of other established AV clubs would be looking at you guys going, wow, these guys are making some noise, having fun and, bringing the energy.
Yeah, look, I look at it and I know we're a long way off from being an athletics club. We won't ever will be, and we're not trying to be. So we sort of look at it as this is a social event that we put on the calendar, and we'll come along to Bendigo as well in a few weeks' time. And for us, it's one of the highlights of the year, like to be able to get in a bus and travel for 2 hours and do an event together. It's addictive, and the guys absolutely loved it. So I think, I mean, keep in mind, Shepparton, it's flat. Even though we've got some hills at the Botanical Gardens, but really they're relative to what you'd face at cross country, they don't really prepare you for what you're about to do. I mean, we don't ever run on grass. We try and avoid mud and soft surfaces if we can help it. So there was a few people that even just running on grass, they were very uncertain about how that was going to go. And we've even got members who they did the longest run of their life on Saturday. So like 7 Ks is a long way for them. They've only ever done park run before. So to come along to an AV event, not really knowing what to expect, I've got so much respect for them, because they really, for them, this is a big step outside their comfort zone. So.
Going to say that coming from a park run to this and running, let alone the distance being a couple of K longer, but the environment, it is a high performance environment, the way that, it's a pretty serious end of the top end of the of athletes that go around, and the clubs have a steep history. But to then get on the same course, it would be. Whilst they're doing really well, AV, at breaking down these barriers and including rec running groups, still be a big change up, and very much different to just going to a fun run as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of the guys actually really enjoyed it from this perspective of how different it was to a fun run, that you didn't have to wait to go and use a toilet, and the field size, like it was a really well-run event, but the field sizes weren't massive. So like from that perspective, the field sizes for them were very similar to the park run that they do in Shepparton, so they weren't intimidated by the numbers or anything like that. And actually, I mean, most of our group are fairly outgoing, so they did make lots of new friends at other clubs who asked them where we were from and if we were going to be at other events. We actually went to set up our own marquee, but after we'd set the frame up, we quickly realized that we didn't have the canopy for the mark for the for the marquee, so we had to take it down, which is a bit of a shame. Otherwise, it would have looked quite weird just having a frame set up. So we popped that down, but no, look,
It was clear conditions, wasn't it? It was fine.
it was incredible. I got a little bit of, I wouldn't say sunburn, but definitely some skin awareness the next day from the sunshine. So yeah, but
Big
no,
kangaroos about.
mate, a few there at 100 to 150 plus, I would have thought, and absolutely no fear of anyone. They were like all throughout the warm-ups, they were bouncing around throughout the car park, all
Oh,
over the
wow.
course, down the bottom section.
During the race, was the kangaroos going across the course?
Not as much, but there was the start finish area sort of ramped down towards where a lot of them were cutting through from the car park to the main oval. And during the 7K, there was one runner that had one skirt what in front of him. I'm not sure, like it was actually gonna intending to clean him up, but that was probably as close as what I saw. But they were everywhere,
Bit of
absolutely
Stromlo
everywhere.
vibes. You've been in Strom. Have you seen, or you? I don't know
I've
if you've.
seen Stromlo. I haven't been there. I would love to, but put it this way, the amount of kangaroos that were there, they must be everywhere, because there was absolutely no chance anyone wanted to run barefoot while you're out there. The grass was pristine, but mate, there was kangaroo shit everywhere. You could not step anywhere on that grass
Sean Williams, did
without
he go
rubbing
around
some
a
in.
bit, mate?
No, even Sean had his shoes on, so.
Yeah, it must have been rough. It must have been not conducive to barefoot. Hey,
But
some of your athletes, a bit of a mix in the 7 and the 12.
yeah, so our man Phil Podbury, he went around in the 7 and ran very well. But yeah, a lot joining Phil, we had Chelsea Nicholson, Taryn Kirby, Jackie Harris, Kate Clark, Linda Hurren, and Kate Dayton from my stable, all came along. So yeah, and they loved it. I think it was good to see them really embrace the challenge. Phil, use the 7K as a bit of a warm up for the 14K down at Great Ocean Road
Oh,
this
so
weekend. Yeah, well,
first day,
he's
did he do a park run in the morning?
no, he avoided park run, so which took a lot of self-control, but no, he's been very well behaved, has Phil. But no, he ran very, very well. I think he's not one to shy away from a challenge. And yeah, he found the course not as difficult as Bendigo, but yeah, still ran very strongly and pretty similar to some of his 10K efforts that he's put in, pace-wise. So he was very impressive on the day. But also Laura Kirlin, Sophie Fit coaches Laura, but Laura made her debut for the Bendigo Bats in the 12K and I think finished 53rd overall in the ladies race. So
Yeah, I did see Laura Dyer. That's yeah. That's a cool story to get her to go around the bats and obviously to move into an AV scene.
yeah, it was Laura had a bit of a hectic day. She was really keen to wear her new Bendigo Bats kit, and her uniforms was a little bit delayed in getting to Hanging Rock. So, but 15 minutes before the start line, she was able to get her hands on it and did a quick stride off to go and get changed, which really impressive, being able to whip off the front bib and the back bib, get that onto the new top, throw that on, and get back to the start line all within 15 minutes. So,
Going,
shit,
yeah.
that's very good going.
Don't know if it was a relay and you had to put another 18 pins on, you might have struggled, but that's it. That is good changeover.
No, I think Nora may have given Laura a bit of a hand with that one. So,
Hey,
yeah.
let's get to the course, mate, and your race.
The course, I really enjoyed it. I thought it'd be a bit of a quicker course than what it was, but most people seem to run at an average pace somewhere between their half marathon and marathon road pace.
Yeah.
It wasn't overly hilly in terms of, I think the elevation over the 12K was around 130 meters, which is solid, but certainly could be a lot worse. But it was more the, for me, it was the amount of grass that we ran on, and just running in the shoes, just I found it was difficult to get any sort of drive out of the legs. There was a back hill section, which was challenging. We certainly run on some steeper hills, but yeah, just there's a over the course of about 300 meters, it really sort of zapped the legs, and you'd come down and you had to really concentrate. Those that do a fair bit of trail running would have been right in their element, and it was tree roots and just lumps and bumps all through that sort of dirt section, which yeah, you couldn't relax. Whereas yeah, and even on the grass, it was a pretty good surface, but still lumpy, where you had to really concentrate where you put your foot. There was a log to jump over, which you actually genuinely had to jump over this one. It wasn't just placed there. So yeah, that was pretty cool. And yeah, I actually thought the layout of the course was really good. They did a great job with what they had, I thought. So shout out to AV with the course that they constructed on the day. But yeah, it was
How did you, yeah.
I
So
would l love to go back there. I know it sort of took the place of Cruden Farm this year, but yeah, I genuinely enjoyed the course more at Hanging Rock than what I did at Cruden.
I wonder if it becomes a staple. Do we think it's going to be a one they keep on, or is this going to be a rotating kind of every couple of years, 12K gets moved around?
Yeah, good question. I get the feeling that because of the venue, that sort of, I guess, Hanging Rock's a bit of an iconic venue, that they would love to keep it there. I think participation numbers will dictate that, whether
Yeah.
they do or not.
Because is it
But
was well, in a like is it actually a park you have to generally go in and pay to visit, or how does it work?
yeah, it's my first visit to Hanging Rock, so I'm not sure if you do have to pay to get in. I assume you do, given the amount of wildlife that's there. But
Yeah,
yeah, like I would
the
have
public weren't in there, it was closed off.
no it was that's correct. Yeah, so yeah, didn't
Interesting.
really see too many. I think there was certain one part of the park was, because we did see a few people walking in different sections, but yeah, pretty much most of it was closed off for the run for the day.
Let's get to your race. Yeah, we're
Yeah.
still lining back up cross country, full seniors race again. Nerves, excitement. I know you were, I guess you weren't tapering. You'd gone in this relatively, in a block at least. So.
Yeah, went in with heavy legs and was really happy with the effort that I was able to maintain throughout the run. I thought I might have run a bit quicker, but in terms of, I mean, given the effort that I put in, which I had my heart rate strap on, and that just showed that it was pretty consistent and the splits were pretty even. I really couldn't have extracted a great deal more effort from the body on the day. So, yeah, I'm happy with that. Yes, I would love to run faster, but I think every single run we've ever done, Zaka, we'd always want to run faster, wouldn't we? But no, I end up running, I think I finished 183rd out of 360, so literally midfield, and ran just under 48 minutes. So, average 4 minutes a K for 12K. So, yeah.
How did you measure the effort on that?
I thought I'd go out conservative. So my plan was to try and run it sort of marathon effort for the first 7K. And then if I could try and get a bit quicker and sort of work my way through, because I thought there'd be a decent chunk of the field that might go out too hard and I might be able to catch them. Well, turns out marathon effort was pretty much where I was at on the day, because these little legs didn't get any quicker over that last five. And on the way in, I think I passed sort of five people and I had one go past me. So, yeah, we kind of held station for the most part of that last loop. But yeah, I think Sunday I was very dusty. The legs didn't really want to get out for a recovery run, but I'm glad that I did, because Monday I went out and did an easy run with some strides. And the body actually felt all right with strides. So this week we'll do a session on Friday, and yeah, sort of pretty happy with how things are going. Still, I'd love to be fitter, but all in all, I really no complaints. I enjoyed the day. I've pulled up well. Yeah, and lots of highlights. Seriously, to see the fun that our guys had over there, it made the trip for me just completely worth it by itself. So the run became a bonus in the end.
Just zeroing in a bit on your racing and your training, or the effect you would have got from that. So you obviously go up a cog from that. Where to from here in just the next few weeks?
Yeah, so targeting Albert Park 10K as a bit of an A race for that one. So this week we'll be pretty heavy, and then we'll gradually taper off in the second half of next week. So next week we'll stay heavy until I've done my session, and then the long run will be a bit shorter, and then a genuine taper week in the lead up to Albert Park.
I like it. It's getting exciting, mate. Just seeing these weeks and what you like two solid hit outs. Like you put gels in there and then you go this sandwich in with some sessions. Look at the great blue wall just continues to build. It's gonna be interesting to see over the next few weeks where you land. And I think you'll find you'll be in a pretty darn good spot.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the trick's going to be just absorbing as much of it as I can. I suppose coming off Saturday, you sort of average 4 minute Ks, you're wondering, on the surface of it, unless you ran the course, you'd look at that and go, that's like, it's a consistent run, but it's not a fast run. And you're sort of wondering, like, how much can I take out of that for the 10K? But you sort of put your sensible hat on and know that that's going to be really good strength for the legs. And we worked for 48 minutes and average heart rate was 177. So we talk about putting stress on the body to cause an adaption, and I think we got a pretty decent one out of that on the weekend. So yeah, just have to be sensible, Obviously, we're going to be pretty heavy with things over the next 10 days, but then just focusing on sort of sleep and sensible recovery, and then hopefully we can soak that all up and put it to good use in a, well, yeah, like 2.5 weeks or so, when Albert Park rolls around.
Yes, mate, I like it. Sensible's good. Bit of a, maybe it's as an oat running collab there, mate. A sensible X oat running cap that you can put on and keep that on until Albert Park, and then maybe just take it off and go full send.
Yeah, no, don't worry. The shackles will be off coming out at Park. It could, who knows how that's gonna go, but yeah, it's just nice getting back and feeling the improvement again. So, and it, just being back for cross country, it's I've missed it. It's
Yeah.
great to be amongst it.
Good buzz. Mate, talking about sensible people, we should add Lachlan Bromley to the call. He'll raise that level a bit higher.
Let's get him
Yeah.
in.
Let's get him in for a chat. Joining us back on the Better With Running podcast is Lachlan Bromley. He's a senior sport and exercise physiotherapist. And he's a clinical mentor over at Reload Physio. Welcome back to the show, Lachlan.
Thanks for having me back, guys. Appreciate it.
Excited to chat, mate. For a few listeners that may not have heard from you before, we thought we'd just touch on a couple of your achievements that are on the profile. And you've worked with at some pretty amazing events, including the Comm Games in 2022, where you were the lead Paralympic physiotherapist. British Athletics, lead physio for World Mountain and Trail Running Championships in 2022, 2023. British Athletics, lead physio for World Cross. And yeah, British Athletics, interim lead Paralympic in 2020, 21. So it's pretty cool experiences there. Obviously, a lot of running experience in the physio world that we thought we'd get you back on to chat. Got a few listener questions to dive into, but I suppose before we go there, Chris has kind of been prodding me every week about how I'm going with the knee, and I've been kind of giving him a straight bat because it hasn't been a great deal that I've been able to shed. Well, I guess it's been a slow process in terms of just getting to the bottom of it and now working through the rehab. But I thought, Lachlan, we caught up on Saturday to probably a good chance that you could maybe shed your perspective on it.
Yeah, no, thanks. Happy to. So yeah, we caught up. I don't know what when we initially caught up about it, but maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. Would that sound right?
Yeah, probably five-ish. Yeah,
Yeah,
about five.
about 5 weeks ago. And like yours was an interesting presentation, probably not straightforward, things that maybe didn't quite line up to say, yeah, this is a cut and dry X or this is a cut and dry Y. So we sort of discussed it, and I said, look, I think a good thing to do would be to get an MRI, have a look at that. That MRI comes back and probably shows a reasonable amount of change in your chondral surfaces on like the joint surface. And something that I thought needed the opinion of a sports doc. So you went off and did that, spoke to Dr. Carly at Alphington Sports Med and got some advice there just around like, is this something that needs a different kind of management? Is it something that needs medical intervention, whether that be injectables or oral anti-inflammatories or, you know, what sort of other options have you got? And I think that's always nice when you've got something that's significant enough to stop you running for a decent period. You sort of want to know that, A, you're doing everything you can to get back kind of as quick as you can, but B, probably get back safely as well, that you're not banging your head against a brick wall trying to get something going that needs an alternative intervention. So you went through that pathway and Carly's great. I really like working with her and that sort of, she gave us probably the confidence to say, no, look, spend a little bit more time making sure the joint settles. And then slowly get back into some running, but make sure you're doing some strength work off the back of that, or sort of before that, I guess. And that's kind of where we are now. That's what we caught up on Saturday to do, and to get you a bit of a program to get you strong in the main muscle groups that are going to support that knee joint going into the future and hopefully keep you running for a long period. So even though you've got these kind of significant joint changes at the knee, that's not something that either Carly or myself and now I hope you see as something that is going to stop you running. It just means you might have to do a little bit more to make you robust and to be able to tolerate the loads that you want to do.
Yeah, and I think going through that strength routine, and you could probably identify that there is some, some weaknesses and some areas that we could just really zero in on and get more robust, like you said. And I think stability, like we just identified, just doing some real basic 101 activities, that the stability wasn't there, and there must be so much almost pressure, or there's so much that's going through the knee because everything else is just not strong enough.
And this is what I love kind of about strength training is that you're a perfect example of a guy, and I hope you don't mind me saying, maybe doesn't have a much of a history of strength training and gym work, but has been like a really, really good runner without that. And so it's sort of just it show I hope it shows you and it shows me that there's this nice little upside that if you are able to add that in, get some strength and control and some stability. Then you've got that whole facet of your running that's untapped to this point. And I think will be really positive for you in the future.
Briso, have you got any questions, or you're happy now?
No, I was going to say, so how soon, like, is it going to be before we can get Zach, like, return to running, sort of out there pounding the footpath? Does he need to resemble sort of Quadzilla before we can get him back out there, or is he sort of good to go with a bit of load management in conjunction with a strength program?
I hope he doesn't need to resemble Quadzilla because I think we'd be waiting many, many moons. No, look, Zach and I spoke about it, and so clinically, Zach now presents really well, like, and functionally, we can't elicit any discomfort from the knee with things like simple things like hopping and squatting and single leg squatting and lunging. Those things are all pain free. So yeah, you've got full rein to get him back out onto the pavement, albeit in a certainly a reduced manner from where he left off. But that return to run has started now, and it's just about you guys will know that slow sort of progression back to probably an easier point than where he left off, just to get some like chronic load back in and get the rest of the body accustomed to running again. 5 to maybe 6 weeks off is a substantial amount of time, especially for someone who is used to running, 80K a week or so. So that'll take a little bit of time to get back to for sure.
Yeah, I can tell you it does, because I did my first one on Monday, because we spoke about just breaking it up into some little 5 minute segments. I did 3 by 5 minute jog, and I was meeting a few of the guys who I usually meet on a Monday, and I said, oh, I might join you. Like I said, I was going to do the 5 minutes beforehand and then join him in the second one just for their first K at the 10. I'll just stay down the bottom. And I was probably a little bit late, they might have been early, whatever, and they ended up being there, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to start with you guys, but like, go easy. And I hadn't actually literally run in 6 7 weeks, so it felt so foreign. There was actually no pain at all in the knee. Everything else felt really weird. For the first, aerobically, I was actually not too bad, because obviously been doing the elliptical, but it felt like I'd never run in my life for the first 3 4 minutes, and then I kind of felt a little bit better. And then the last, and Reese Edwards, who I've mentioned a few times on the show, runs with that group, and said to run, but Reese's done 2:30 for the marathon, and he's like, he's already been running for 40 minutes. So, mate, do not start with me. I'm gonna be, but he was like, no, I don't care. I'm just logging K's first. So it was good to have a few people to start it with, and then by the third one, I was actually just, the body felt really fatigued. Just, I don't know, from this completely deconditioned from that running sensation, and got to it. Next day, it was like, I'd actually been for a race, I'd had a race or something, but like it's all fine. Like it was just a lack of like those functional movements that I'd done, and got out again tonight. So, we're doing this sort of, day on, day off sort of thing, and was much better today. Not didn't it's certainly not feeling like it was 8 weeks ago, but even just it almost feels like the body's just waking up again to getting into this running motion. And I did it with Al. We did, he's on a bit of a return to run. We did 4 by 5 minutes and just kept it really normalish pace and just had the walk breaks, and much better today. So I think those getting through those first few is going to be the key.
Yeah, fantastic. And we spoke a little bit about not running too slowly on those first couple of runs back. That I think some people go, "Oh, I'm going to be unfit, or I haven't run in a long time." So, and they probably pull themselves back and run almost slower than what they kind of naturally want to run. And definitely, I encourage people just to run like comfortably. If that means that your cardiovascular system needs a couple of weeks to catch up, so be it. But I think like actively slowing down too much then makes it almost a harder task, and maybe changes what would otherwise be a normal loading on knees and ankles and hips and tendons and that sort of jazz. So yeah, run comfortably rather than like actively slow.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for getting me back out on the road. Or the
My pleasure.
man at this
Easy.
point.
Easy. Thank you.
Should we rip into some of those listener questions?
Let's do.
Mate, got one here from Rory Flanagan. So Rory's a past guest, and he wants to know, what are the best bang for buck strength exercises for injury prevention?
Rory, thank you for the question. Mate, my go-tos, and probably maybe I'll talk less to actual exercises, but go muscle groups. And I think most strength coaches, physios that work in running, that type of thing, will go calves, and then probably soleus is maybe your number one. That if you did nothing else, if you're training soleus, that's a real good bang for your buck exercise. And to be honest, it's probably the one that people least enjoy doing, and it's probably the one that people do towards the end of the program, and maybe they're a little bit tired. But I think get that one in definitely a couple of times a week, and you'll see some good benefits. And so that's things like seated calf raise, bent knee calf raise, those types of things, and train that heavy. Yes, you want to get some endurance, and once we feel like you've got that, then start to get strong in that muscle as well. Outside of that, like yeah, you probably can't go past hip extensors, so things like glute max and that sort of stuff, and you can train that again like a number of different ways: RDL patterns, like hinge patterns, hip thrusts, those types of things.
Like that. I've got one from Lou Heath, and she's got an Achilles tendon 24 mil tear, which is largely recovered, but I'm still lacking power. Is there any tips around, I guess, regaining the power there?
Yeah, Lou, that's a really good one, because I think there's certainly like a sort of a process that you'll go through with these tendon rehabs, and so what you've got now in terms of your tendon is you've got this nice, great, healthy tendon that you can start to load, but you've probably got a muscle that needs to catch up to that as well, and you've got like the way that the muscle interacts with the tendon too. So the process sort of starts with trying to get some endurance into the calf muscles with, normal things like single leg calf raises and that type of jazz. And then you want to start getting that muscle stronger. So you want to start to load those calf raises and sort of bring, the rep ranges back to, 8 to 12, maybe 6 to 8, and lift heavy with that. But then the muscle has to start working fast. And so that's when you might do things like, so I'd call these like bounces. So keeping toes on the ground and sort of bouncing heel up and down, almost like you're hopping, but you never leave the ground. And so you're trying to get the muscle to contract quickly and get a little bit of load on the tendon, but the forces are still much smaller than if you were jumping off the ground and doing some hops and that type of thing. That's a really nice stepping stone between I've got a strong calf, but I can't quite get to my springing activity. Do some bounces to try and bridge that gap. And once you've bridged that gap, then you sort of start to look at things like pogos and single leg hops and those sort of more energy storage and elastic type activities. But you want to make sure you're ticking each of those boxes along the way. And making sure you've got the strength to start with.
How are you guiding that in terms of getting the balance right of doing enough? And then, is it the next day? Can you kind of get a gauge as to, oh, I can't, it's pulled up a little sore. Do I need to back? Like, how are you monitoring that?
Yeah, so like I guess from a strength perspective, you can certainly test that strength and compare it to the other side, and then compare it to kind of norms for that person's age group and that type of thing. I think that's a little bit trickier in recreational runners compared to elite athletes, but still, like left to right is a good start. And then yeah, definitely if the tendon's symptomatic, that 24-hour response, so how they wake up the next morning, how they're getting out of bed. Stiffness and pain on starting the activity the next day, that's a really good sign as to how well it's tolerated what you've done the day before. So I'd probably use that one much more than symptoms during the session if it's still symptomatic. But it sounds like Lou's maybe is no longer symptomatic.
Question from Matt Wise. So Matt's slightly sore in the patella tendon, but only on touching, not when running. Why might that be?
Yeah, Matt, this is an interesting one and probably a tricky one to be fair, but maybe if you've got a little bit of irritation in the tendon and it sits quite close to the skin, so the actual part of the tendon that's irritated is close to the skin, so you can touch it and you can sort of irritate it with your finger, but then when you run, you don't actually load that aspect of the tendon, and maybe that's why running's more comfortable than pressing and prodding on it. But what I will say on that is, like, there's some good evidence that people that press and poke and prod sore tendons stay sorer for longer. So, like, my big thing is if we know that you've got a tendinopathy, do your best not to check if it's still sore by pressing and prodding it, because I guarantee you it will be. And that's probably the last thing to change. Yeah, more so use that thing of, like, if you're running, does it hurt? How do you wake up the next day? Can you do hops and skips and that sort of jazz? That's a better indication compared to your palpation pain or touching pain.
Is it with tendons that they don't like rest? Like, typically you want to keep them loading, like keep loading them up. If
Yeah, correct. Correct. The tendon will sort of like adjust its capacity to meet the demands that you put on it. So if we take away load on a tendon, it will kind of reduce its capacity to tolerate that load, and then you've got to like gradually build that back up again. So certainly if your tendon starts to get sore, rather than chopping everything out of the program, this is where there's a little bit of maybe art and science coming together to say, okay, well, what stuff is going to be most kind of damaging or loading or irritable for the tendon, that comes out. What stuff is my tendon going to be able to tolerate well? That stuff definitely stays in, and as much of that stuff stays in as possible. So that, yeah, you've got less road to come back at the end when that tendon does settle down.
nice one. Mickey C74 sent us a question about best treatment professional for plantar fasciitis. Is that a physio, podiatrist, osteo, or anyone else?
You see, the best person to see would be this guy, Lachlan Bromley. He's a physio down at Reload. I don't know if you've heard of him, but I think you've. Look, mate, it there's I honestly think there's no best one professional to see. If you've got someone who you know and trust and is invested in the sport and knows running and knows plantar fascia pain, they're a good person to see. I probably am not fussed of where they got their undergraduate degree. I think there's great professionals who are osteos, there's great professionals who are podiatrists, and there's probably mediocre physios out there as well. So try and get into someone who comes well recommended, talk to some people who have seen someone that they really like and knows the sport, and go and see them. I can't sort of emphasize that enough, that if it's someone that knows and loves running and sees runners all day, I think they're going to be good people to talk to about it.
Mate,
just I'll go, Chris. I just a little follow up around the just like compartment syndrome, something that's come up before. And is that sort of a space that require, like, again, same sort of lens? Where does that fit?
Yeah, compartment syndrome, like, is something that I probably see as, if someone came into my clinic and I saw them tomorrow and I thought they had compartment syndrome, that's something I'd probably get an opinion from a sports doc on, simply because I think it will be a tough condition for me to influence from a physio perspective. I'm looking at things, you know, can I make this stronger? Can I make this more stable? Can I make this more mobile? Will those things help? And I'm not sure those things are probably the fix for a compartment syndrome. I think that probably needs some sort of medical intervention. And so I'd sort of be comfortable sending that to a sports doc, getting their opinion, maybe confirming that diagnosis, and then happy to sort of come back and go, okay, where can I help in that picture? But it's certainly not something that I think I would lead on at the start.
Gotcha.
Like, this question comes from Chris at Run to PB. He wants to know just some guidelines around lifting heavy for strength development in runners, what that actually looks like in terms of reps and sets, and what sort of recovery would the runner have? Because I think sometimes with heavy lifting, people look at that and go, that's, you've just got to use every sinew in your body, and form goes completely out the window. So when you say heavy lifting, how does that relate back to running? And could you give us a bit of an idea on reps and sets to, I guess, for those that might not, or might be new to going to the gym and with an aim to lift heavy to improve their ability?
Yeah. So I think probably where I start is like when that session is programmed for the week. So let's say you're someone that sessions, and so when I say session, like a hard running session, that might happen on a Tuesday and a Friday, for instance, and then you might do your long run on a Sunday. I'm going to try to program my gym or your gym as far away from that next running session as I can. So if you session, say, on a Tuesday, let's say you session Tuesday morning, I'd love you to do gym Tuesday late morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, that type of thing, so that you then get maximal recovery before your Friday session. And then at the same time on the Friday, if you can do it sort of straight after or at least Saturday morning, so that then you're getting at least 24 hours before that Sunday long run hits, and then another couple of days before Tuesday. So I think, yeah, where it's done in the week is important. Certainly, like the day before a hard running session is probably not the best time to try and lift heavy. And then from a sort of a sets and reps type position, it certainly depends where you've come from. So first you want to develop a little bit of endurance in the muscle. You probably want to develop some capacity to lift, you know, three sets of 12, three sets of 10, and then it starts to probably come back to, maybe if I'm trying to program for strength, I might program four sets of 4 to 6 reps. And I think maybe that's where some people get a little bit caught. They go, I'm an endurance runner, so I'll do my endurance-based running program, my endurance-based strength program. And I think you do enough endurance stuff, certainly when you run, yes, get a little bit of that in the gym, but then cross that over to something different. And so that's where I think you can then put the weight up, lift it far less time, so like maximum of sort of 6 reps in a set, and then maybe 4 to 5 sets. And I think the exercise you choose is important as well. So there's some classic, like sort of main lift exercises that I'd use in my program. Things like double leg hip thrusts, things like double leg Romanian deadlifts, a double leg squat, some of those big lifts that sort of load the whole body in a pattern that is advantageous. So like a hinge type pattern. Does that explain, and does that sort of cover what you needed?
Yeah, I think so. And also probably just what sort of recovery would people normally have between sets on a heavy lifting day versus maybe an endurance day?
I think you can go. I'd probably program so that like main lift stuff at the start, I'd program that by itself, and you might go 2 to 3 minutes maybe between the sets for that main lift. And then some of the accessory stuff off the back of that, then I might program, say, I don't know, let's say a split squat where you're going mostly legs. And then I might do, say, a row type motion, so like an upper body, and just superset those two. So you're kind of getting your rest for the lower body whilst you're doing some upper body stuff.
Hey, like I know Reload Physio got a lot of services down there. You got a lot of strength and conditioning coaches and yourselves down there. But do you have any specific coaches that just do bicep programs? Because Chriso could be your man. I don't know if you've seen any photos of Chriso with the guns out, but he could be Reload's new bicep only coach.
No, look, we don't have any. So, I'll certainly have to follow that up.
No, it's a very integral part of running to have good guns. So, myself and Liam Beecroft have been working on a bit of a collab to get the gun show happening for Run to PB. But watch this space on some possible marketing material.
Send you a
Excellent. I
few
like it.
pictures to a few photos just to drip feed over to Marcus's desk and pop you across the line.
Yeah, whatever it takes, mate.
Before we let you go, I know you're we didn't mention at the start that you're calling in from sunny Cootamundra on a road
That's
trip.
right. That's right.
And actually, there's a couple of questions that came in, Chriso, that we didn't mention. And maybe that person is also in Cootamundra that's sent these questions.
Yeah, I'm up here with my wife Kate. We're on our way to Katoomba for her to race in the UTA 50K, and I'll trundle along behind, just trying to ask people at the aid station how it's going at the front of the race.
Well, Kate tells us you're a bit of a trail runner, mate, but she wants to know what your favorite trail race is and why was it in Portugal?
Yeah, the Portuguese races, just it holds a lot of memories, none of which are really positive for me. I was actually, in preparation for this podcast, I went back and had a look at the stats on the Garmin app, and there was a 1 single kilometer that took me 22 minutes, and I compared that to Kate's stats, and I think it took her something like 8 or 9 minutes. So it was certainly an uphill segment, but I think by this stage I'd well and truly cooked the goose, and it was a death march on the way home. That was one of my first trail races, and I probably did everything that a rookie trail runner would do. I went out hard. I probably didn't eat that much. I didn't fill my drink bottle up because I couldn't get the lid off at one of the aid stations. I thought, that's fine, I'll do it the next one. And so like an hour and a half later, I was pretty thirsty and not in a good space.
I'd love to have known what was going through your head for 22 minutes there.
Oh, mate, it was certainly this uphill. I can remember it vividly, so I'll tell you what was going through my head. It was, if I stand up straight on this uphill, I will fall backwards. I will get a head spin and I'll fall backwards down this hill, and then I'll have to do it again.
Just on repeat that thought for 22 minutes.
Exactly. 100%.
So you'd highly recommend that race for people.
Look, I'm sure it had nice views. I can't remember any of the views. I'm sure the people were lovely. I'm sure they took great care of us. Would I go back? Absolutely not.
It's not one of those ones that flashes up every 12 months in your socials memories that you like to share with the
Oh,
community.
Not yet, but hopefully, yeah, hopefully if I talk about it, well, hopefully not, that if I talk about it, it'll pop up. But yeah, fingers crossed.
Are you going around this weekend? Are you having a run?
Yeah, mate, I'll have a run. I'll have a run. There might be a couple of 22-minute Ks in there. Who
Yeah.
knows?
50K?
Yeah, 50K.
Oh, exciting. Good luck to yourself and Kate. Obviously, Kate is firing on all cylinders, so she'll be at the pointy end, no doubt. So we'll have to have Kate on soon, Chriso, for been a little bit while between drinks for a catch up.
It's been a while since we've caught up with Kate. She also wanted to know, mate, on a scale of 1 to 10, how annoying are pro athletes to treat? Is there anyone that comes to mind?
Oh, mate, it's probably yeah, the scale probably goes, maybe the more pro they've become, the more annoying they get to treat. No, that's not correct. No, there's good story and there's horror stories everywhere, right?
Yeah,
Doesn't matter who you
not all pro athletes.
Not all pro athletes. Hashtag not all pro athletes, definitely.
Very diplomatic answer, mate.
Thank you.
As always, mate, love you coming on and sharing your wisdom. I think a lot of the listeners, whether they sent questions in or have going through similar things, would have got a lot of value from that. So we appreciate your time, and we'll try and do it yeah, in a month or so, and have a few more questions. There's a couple that we didn't get to that we'll park for next time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the
Thanks,
trails,
Lachlan.
mate. That was great to have Lockie join us straight off the road, mate. He looks like halfway through a road trip, and he was good enough to give us some of his time from Cootamundra.
Mate, he pretty much just pulled over and checked in to the accommodation. So very
We did
grateful.
give him a warning. We were gonna chat, but yeah, gave us a hotel review beforehand, and probably not going to be a sponsor of the podcast, that hotel.
No, but the barbecue chook at the local supermarket was a big winner. So if you're in Cootamundra, barbecue chook supermarket, quality meal.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, something that came across my desk, and I might have come across the collective runs PB desk because Mattress and Brady are right across what's happening out in the wild these days in social media land, where we're seeing a lot of new people in the sport, aren't we, Chris? So we're seeing a running boom. We're
We
seeing
are, and it's a good thing. We love the running boom.
running's become a bit more mainstream. People have kind of found the joy, got the endorphin hit off a couple of runs, and then I guess managed to utilize their content creation skills, their video skills, production skills to deliver content that is getting a lot of eyeballs for.
Yeah, we got some concerns that there might be people trying to, or these runfluencers might be trying to exploit new people or sort of vulnerable runners for some sort of commercial gain. And probably got some issues with that, don't we, Zaka?
We do. And look, Brady listens every week and he often breathes a sigh of relief that he doesn't have to get the bat phone out, call a lawyer. So we will use the word allegedly and we will not refer to any specific names in this segment. But maybe one of the ones that came across our desk, and it was a little reel that we both watched this week and might have choked on our donuts as we were eating them, mate, because this one runfluencer might have recommended donuts as a source of fuel mid-marathon. But this runfluencer talked us through a fueling strategy for the Boston Marathon, but it was nice enough to get the camera out for the 26 miles, and give us a breakdown of what was consumed. And I think, mate, if someone can make content like that, make it look good, informative, bring you the atmosphere of a marathon, of a major marathon like Boston, then I'd sit back and watch that as a new runner or even as an existing older runner. I think that'd be interesting to see.
No, well, it was interesting to see. I think we did watch it a few times. That I was impressed at the sheer volume of alcohol that this man was able to drink over the course of the Boston Marathon. And keeping in mind that this Boston Marathon was rather hot, so the I was just a bit concerned about some dehydration, but by my count, there was a good five or six beers that consumed over the course of the run, and a few
The
donuts.
yeah, the clickbait, the yeah, when you put up a reel, you get an option to put up a profile picture, like a profile, not profile picture, but a preview. So you use it to, yeah, use it to bait people, give people an idea of, and it did say everything I ate to run in the Boston Marathon, and it did give it away that this is not going to be regular eating and about Boston Marathon. He had a Bud Light can showcasing what was going to be part of this marathon fueling strategy, which you've just touched on, Chris. But early in that, there was Gatorades going down, there was gels, like early miles. I thought, yeah, this all adds up. This is what you would have for a marathon. Things turned a bit south at about halfway through, about what, 10 mile in, a mile in.
Yeah, probably maybe even a fraction earlier than that one. And yeah, it did look like the running was relatively comfortable, but it was just, yeah, six beers deep into your marathon, and it was being celebrated, which was probably the thing I found concerning, was that sort of the appeal from the masses that this could be the way to do it and have a great time, where I'm sort of looking at it going, no, this could actually be fatal in a wrong situation and person, probably running a little bit harder and suffering a bit of dehydration, that perhaps some lager might not necessarily be the smartest choice. And we're just concerned that given this person, gosh, they would have hundreds of thousands of followers across their social channels, that people may think that this is the way to go. And particularly those new people who don't know any better, that this might not necessarily be the greatest content to share, given how popular allegedly that this person is. It was
I mean,
curious.
yeah, and I know we're putting a little bit of mayo on that people would watch this and think that's exactly what I would use for a marathon. But I think there's a fine line around, having a gag and doing some things for likes. But also, if you're positioning yourself as a coach, then I think that's where, a point of authority in other posts, you're sort of spruiking your knowledge, you're telling people how to prepare for events, and then you go and do this, then it doesn't line up. Like, you've almost got to choose your camp and follow through. You can't sort of s just toggle between the two, because like you say, Chris, that is dangerous stuff, and yeah, I don't know. It didn't sit well with me, and it doesn't sit well when you're kind of out there expecting people to take you seriously as a coach. You do that.
No, it's probably is damaging to the credibility overall of you trying to pass yourself off as someone who's there to try and help people reach their peak physical performance. That it just doesn't sit well with me.
Admittedly, some of these, and app that he could be allegedly working for that he's spitting out. They're tying themselves to popular figures and saying you could be coached by this person, but then it's actually just an AI generated coaching program just being spat out. So even then, though, you'd kind of feel a bit duped if you were like, cool, I'm signing up for this app. I'm going to get coached. May not meet this person, but it's developed by this popular figure. Better go check the socials. Oh, yeah. Well, that's not someone who I probably should be getting advice from because, and also when a program's being AI generated and it is just spitting out ridiculous numbers, not taking into account my actual physical and mental and lifestyle of the day, of the week, and all the changes that happen with that. It just, yeah, it gets out of control. So, yeah, it was a little bit alarming, this rise. And this is not us sort of being, you know, some people say, oh, you know, put me sour grapes because, you know, these run influencers are getting popular and they may be threatening our space. I think it's just more of a community service of like, this is just, it's a wild west out there. I get it. Social media, you can follow who you like, you can put up what you like, freedom of speech, yada, yada. But at some level, there needs to be a bit of control. And I know even in like in a serious set lens, it's like in the financial services sector or these finfluencers, they're getting heavily like regulated and taken down now because people are losing money because it just, you know, you start a TikTok account, you tell people where to put their money, and it's like you can't actually go and do that. And this is, yeah, I'm not calling for like, you know, you have to have be an accredited coach to have an account. To be a coach to give advice, but it's a bit of a buyer beware situation, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. Like, look, I believe that you have some inside information on some of the algorithm of the app, some of the numbers that it's spitting out, mate, for some performances that might not quite, you know, I know I'm not the best at math, but these numbers weren't quite adding up that you saw.
No, and I don't know if it was this. I think it was a different influencer. It might have been an Aussie-based in runfluencer who has yeah, kicked off an app. And yeah, if you plug in, if you just play around, I think even if you plug in a 3-hour marathon, it has you look. It's sort of because you're just going off numbers and an algorithm. It's almost just upping your Ks incrementally closer to the event. So I think by the event, you're probably running a 40K and it's like a week out, like things like that. It just doesn't take into it. It has not thought this through. The paces, it's just thrown them out of whack. Like I know people will put in just playing around with the app just to say, oh, this will be interesting to see how close this is. And yeah, it's setting you world record style paces for your sessions. And you know, oh, okay, that's interesting. I'm trying to break 3 hours. Why have I got yeah, 440 300 meters at at a pace that's like below your fastest 3K? Like it's just bizarre. And yeah, 1K reps at like just all out. Just absolutely full send and do 15 of them and take a 20-second rest. Like that's all we think you need if you want to get ready for this marathon. So yeah. Actually, shout out to Connor Dillon, who good friend of the show, who has been fighting the good fight. And I think people who follow Connor will know what we're talking about. And if you don't, just give him a bit of kudos because he might have been on the receiving end of like he's gone out onto the front lines and tried to fly the flag and it copped a little bit his way from people just getting a little bit touchy about being called out.
Yeah, and I believe the you know, some people get sensitive. So, but no, we shout out to Connor. We like what you're doing.
We stand with you, Connor.
Yeah, we do. Solidarity.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, it is 9 o'clock, so we're probably just probably good to wind it up there because I could see you really launching, getting the 3 wood out, and Brady will still be sweating as we continue to dance around this subject because we definitely don't want a lawsuit.
No, we can't afford one. I'd hate to have to let my athletes know that unfortunately they might have to pay a little bit extra because we've been taken to court over something that we allegedly said on the podcast. Probably not good PR.
Mid-May. The singlets are in production,
They
so
are.
we're tracking for early June dispatch. Socks are away as well. Oak Running have shared a sample image, so they're going to be pretty close to in line. So you could do yourself a favor, mate, and get the full kit.
What better way to go into Gold Coast with a brand new kit, matching socks, matching top. Time to get your shoes sorted out. Oh, look good, feel good. It's going to be available for everyone soon.
Mate, I've got to send you something in the mail tomorrow. I'm holding it up for you. So last week we spoke about the Percy Cerruti finds I had, and I was pretty excited about those. And I was sort of telling the guy, I was messaging Matt and Brady and saying how good, picking up Wydyke for, I think I paid $10 for it last week, and
A collector's item.
collector's item. And lo and behold, was out with Lisa on Sunday. We went out a little road trip, about 40 minutes to Birragurra, just near Colac, or on the way to Colac. It's sort of an inland town. Nice farmers market. Just walking around there, mate. Just taking in the sights. Relaxing Sunday. Strolled up to the main street. Wandered into the op shop just by chance, mate. Just happened to find my way in there. Just thought I'll chance the arm here. I after last week's finds, I didn't think that this was going to be possible. Walk in, I sort of cooked it. I was down in, I think I was in the military section at the time. I was sort of scratching. I don't know what I was doing there. Lisa yells, hey, I found something. And it's another copy of Wydyke, the extraordinary Percy Cerruti maker of champions. So the
Oh.
second copy, Chris. So this one in better condition.
Yeah.
So open it up, thinking, because I told the guys last week, I said, I picked it up for $10. Like, this is, crazy. Because Matt was saying how expensive that. I thought, oh, I'll probably open this one and it'll be, $50 or $70.
Yeah.
$5.
No, surely they've left a zero off that.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's in grey lead, so someone might have just like come in and rubbed off the other seal. So I've just gone, I've got to get this one, so I'll pick it up and I'll send you the other copy, Chriso. So we've
Oh,
got a
mate.
copy. But I was pretty excited to send a message to Mattress and Brady. And so, mate, I said to him, are you sure they're that rare? Because 2 weeks I've found two
You
copies.
found it in a discount bin at the
Yeah.
bookstore.
Oh yeah, Matt, that's out of it. He's sending me photos. Oh yeah, I've seen it for $700 online,
Oh,
and
shit.
I don't think it's seven because he found a few other ones for 100, 150, but it is hang on to it, mate, like a fine wine. Just put it in the cellar and
Mate, I reckon we should
holding it.
maybe like a paragraph every fortnight or something, just a paragraph of Percy, just to like an
Yeah.
audio book. We can share some excerpts of
Yeah.
wisdom with the
We should
listeners.
just start posting some of the photos. The photos are there's more gold in the photos of just Percy shirtless and doing his thing. It I don't know, if you've met Matt Davey and you've basically met Percy, because similar kind of get up, and Gemma would probably say they move very similar as well. But anyway, there's Matt's roast for the week.
Something we can certainly share some of the pictures out of the book. Maybe we could do like a
Yeah, do it like
comparison.
competition. We'll put up, yeah, we'll put one
Who
up
wore a
that
better?
to yeah, spot the difference. See if people can pick up who's who. On that note, better go
No.
before we really alien out ourselves from
No.
both Canadian chat.
Mate, that's been a good show. Great Ocean Road this week.
It is,
Lots
yes.
of run to PB
Big
athletes
shout
getting
out to
around
Runs
then.
BB. Yeah, it's gonna be a I was chatting to Moose today about that because he's down there with the Geelong Running Company and the and what we spoke about earlier, this running boomer, there's a lot of new people in the sport. This could be their first race, first event. So they'll yeah, there'll be some good numbers down there.
Looking forward to it. One of the numerous events on at the moment that have sold out. Well before the event kicks off. So looking forward to it. I know the weather's been a bit rough down there the last few years, but hopefully this weekend things will hold together and those that have been training hard will get a chance to go and get the rewards they deserve.
Well said. All right, mate. We will be back next week. We're working on a guest. Looks like we're locked down that big name for the 200th.
Yes, allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
We're near. Yeah. There
It's
has been
exciting news. So
a calendar. There'll be an invite getting sent through. This person may prefer different modes of communication to get things tied up, but we've got there and excited to chat.
it's not far away now, mate. Episode 195
We've
is
got to prep for
in the
that one.
books, but
A little bit more than the 10 minutes beforehand. We the career we're talking about is it is like we're gonna have to work out some of like what events we actually focus on and where we pick it out because we could probably talk to this guest for 12 hours.
Well, so the episode itself could just be the interview itself, so.
Yes.
We've still got to lock the date in, but we have received the confirmation that yes, happy to have a chat. So, looking forward to when that happens and the chance to share it with everyone as well. So, watch this space. 5 weeks, 5 episodes.
5 weeks, yeah. 5 weeks to get it done. Awesome, mate. We'll chat next week.
Nah, chat soon.